So what you call problems, they're important. They're important until the day they're no longer important. And the day they no longer matter is the day you yourself succeed in destroying their causes and reasons. And the destruction of problems is totally linked to your willpower, to your ability to bring down the energy of your willpower onto the material plane of your life. And what is most occult in the new instruction is that man's will is not what it was in the past. In the past, in the ancient race, man's will was the direct product of his selfish desire, whereas in the future, man's will is the product of the conflict between his suffering and the will of the spirit that establishes the conditions of suffering. And when man has suffered enough to realize, within himself, the limit, or the necessity of a limit to this suffering, he brings down within himself this energy which becomes his own will, and at that moment, man benefits from the will of spirit, and it is at that moment that he can destroy all the conditions which in the past served to create problems within him. I advise you that all the problems of your life are created in all their aspects, in all their conditions, by the higher intelligence within you. For your evolution, for the man of tomorrow, this game must stop. The intelligence within him, the will whose power he doesn't know, must balance itself, so that at some point, in his growing life, in his life of consciousness, he comes to reduce to zero the power of spirit over his mind. And when man has sufficient voluntary power, real willpower, he is able to reduce the spirit's power over his mind to zero, and that's when man becomes Superman. Within the framework of this explanation, we can look at the phenomenon of problems, taking it to a higher scale of understanding, in the sense that we can eliminate from this experience the chance factor, instruct ourselves in the fact that in this experience, what we lacked was the intelligence produced by the suffering that prevented us from living our real will. Because once again our will had not been the product of the conflict between spirit and self. And this instruction, which man is receiving today, is totally new on planet Earth, because never before has a man been able, nor wanted, nor desired, within the framework of any mandate as an initiate on the planet, to totally destroy the power of the spirit over the emotion of man's mind. And it was in this experience that it was decided that, in order to free himself from the emotion of the spirit of man, man had to permanently undergo the yoke of the spirit, in order to transmute, through fusion, the emotion of the spirit. And when the emotion of the spirit was transmuted, man was no longer mortal, but immortal. And when man is in the realm of the immortal, he is no longer subject to the laws of spirit, for he is himself spirit in matter. The importance of understanding that problems, one day in your life, must be totally stopped, neutralized, destroyed, prevented from taking root. And in the constant expression of your everyday experience, where problems arise, left and right, in relation to an unconscious civilization, unconscious men, there is for spirit a very vast terrain in which you, as an individual, also possessing a mind, possessing also a will, possessing also love and intelligence. You are forced at some point to realize that the power from above must descend into the subplanes of reality and break once and for all, in a final way, the chains of karma. Man must suffer no more, man will suffer no more, but man, who will suffer no more, will suffer beforehand in the conflict that must exist between him and spirit. And it is this manifestation, in his everyday reality, that he will experience what I know. And those who have experienced what I know, have understood what I know and have realized that what they have understood is perfect. Because tomorrow's man is no longer of the fifth race, and the laws of the spirit that applied to the fifth race will no longer apply to him. So the man of tomorrow must understand life in a totally different way of the old man. And when I say that the man of tomorrow must understand life in a totally different, totally new way from the old man, I mean exactly this. So that in the apprenticeship, in the transition, the man of today must learn not to look back, or in different terms, the man of tomorrow must learn not to look back at the old man. Tomorrow's man must learn to live tomorrow's life, today, and no longer live his life, today, based on the dispositions he had yesterday. And this condition is absolute, and will be lived by the man of tomorrow. And the men of tomorrow, who will have lived these conditions and understood the laws of these new conditions, will have the power to immortalize their material matter. If you have the vision to destroy them, you already have the vision to transcend them. If you already have the vision of destroying them, you have the vision of transcending your own nature. But first you must inwardly, because this vision is not a psychological vision, this vision is a powerful realization within yourself, self-centered within yourself, which results from the fact that, at some point in your life, you have realized the absurdity of the old life. And once you've realized the absurdity of the old way of life, you'll be like me, alone, solitary, linked only in spirit with those who have the same spirit, and ready for any eventuality, meaning ready to receive any vibration, which must arouse in oneself the energy necessary to make contact and work with the forces of the invisible. So today's problems, everyday's problems, are much, much bigger than you can imagine, but they are big if you don't know the new laws. If you don't know the new laws that no longer matter, they don't matter, they're simply a yoke, a nuisance, for you to live with for the rest of your life. But if you know the new laws and apply the new laws, you will destroy the way life has been built around you, and little by little, you will begin to live a totally a brand new life. I don't say new, because there is a difference between a new life and a brand new life. A new life is one that has been changed in the old life. A brand new life is a life that has nothing to do with the old life. And when man lives a brand new life, he is unable to subscribe to the new life, because the illusion of form difference between the two is as great as the old life to the new life. But when man lives the brand new life, he is totally in another time, and has no right to anything but himself. And when man realizes that he has no right to anything but himself, he realizes the absolute conditions of the brand new life, and it's not through intelligence and intellect that he can live this life and understand it, it's through the vibration within him, which organizes his mind, his emotions, his vital and his material. A brand new life is an utterly new life. It's a life that doesn't belong to you. It's a life that is the process, that is the result, that is the manifestation of the energy within you, determined by the power within you to receive it. In the brand new life, the ego is not seen, or seen less and less. In the brand new life, the personality is not felt, or felt less and less. In the brand new life, only the soul exists in vibratory harmony with the ego, which is in vibratory harmony with the personality, so that an axis is formed, and through this axis passes the energy of the ray current to which you are assigned. And it is from this energy that you live. It's this energy that you feed on. It's this energy that you use to descend into matter, the Spirit of God. And when in the brand new life, man descends into matter, the Spirit of God, any spirit that is against it, and any spirit that is against the light of this spirit, cannot penetrate the space where this man evolves and progresses, because this space is inviolable, because this space is light. So I'm explaining simple, everyday things to you. I'm talking about problems, and I'm trying to make you understand the importance of problems, to give you a perspective that's not human, but the result of a total awareness of the reality of the law of the spirit. When I say, put the axe, it means destroy the cause of suffering. It's a way of expressing this law. But many, since the beginning because of lack of experience, have put the axe in and cut their finger. But that's part of experience. And with experience you learn to put the axe in and not cut anyone's fingers off. Consciousness is creative, not destructive. Consciousness is harmony. Everyday problems, your problems, are illusions created by the mind within you to trip you up in the stream of your emotions, and like trout, you spend your time hopping around. When I say that tomorrow's man will not belong to himself, I'm speaking one of the greatest truths unknown to ancient man. Tomorrow's man will not belong to himself, and already in your experience, you've had moments when you've felt that you don't belong to yourself, and this awareness is very great, and it's getting greater and greater. And it's when we no longer belong to ourselves that we feel good about ourselves. As long as we belong to ourselves, we're nailed to our skin. But when we no longer belong to ourselves, we feel good about ourselves. But the ego doesn't want that, because the ego needs to belong to be sure that it exists in the mind, that it feels in the emotions, that it lives in the material. The ego needs to be sure that it's alive. The wife needs to be sure that her husband loves her. The man needs to be sure that his wife is faithful. We need to be sure, but this security is ephemeral. But when two beings live in life and one does not belong to himself and the other does not belong to himself, either one belongs to the other. And when a man no longer belongs to his wife and his wife no longer belongs to him, he no longer has the sufferings of possession. When children no longer belong to us, we no longer suffer the pains of possession. What I say is in the vibration, not in a psychological mode of understanding. What's difficult to convey in words is the reality of vibration. What's easy to convey in words is form. That's why it's never what I say that I want to say, it's what I can't say that I want to say, but I have the power to say it. Because I have the power of vibration. So wait for the vibration to understand the word that contains it before jumping into form and breaking your beak and becoming a cropper. Everything can be said, even what can't be understood, it's just a question of saying it in a certain way. And I wish you all, one day, to no longer belong to yourselves, to no longer feel yourselves, to no longer see yourselves, to no longer know what your I is, to no longer know what your ego is. I wish you all that. But until that day comes, know that you're gradually moving towards it. And everything I tell you over the years will serve to make you understand the nuances of this reality better and better. We have the impression, men of the earth, that at any moment in our lives, we can situate ourselves somewhere in our lives, that this impression is so strong that it creates, within us, an energy, an emotion, and this emotion automatically imprisons us. Man imprisons himself every day, for the best reasons in the world. Fortunately, contrary to what Socrates said, man cannot know himself. Marvelous, the philosophy of man, marvelous, the philosophies, because they have succeeded in giving man the hope of what he must become, without giving him the tools to get there. Philosophy is fine, because it extracts one tooth to give you another, but consciousness is even finer, because it extracts both teeth and you have none left. So for the end of the period, I'd like to explain how man harms himself without realizing it. First, man harms himself, because he tries to understand himself. In trying to understand himself, he tries to find tricks to understand himself, and in discovering tricks to understand himself, he gets bogged down in his understanding of himself, so that he never manages to understand himself. Self-understanding is a logical effort on man's part. It's an effort that is valued in man's schools. It's an effort that is considered praiseworthy in man's society. But in man's reality, it's an impossible effort. It's an effort that constantly leads to partial failure, because man, in trying to understand himself, is obliged in the process to misinform himself. And in misinforming himself, he creates another illusion of himself, and so on. For man to know himself, he must learn not to rack his brain with himself. And when he has learned this, he begins to react against himself, because he begins to see that where before he tried to understand himself, he couldn't. Now by not racking his brain with himself, he begins to see himself in his ignorance. And little by little, by not racking his brains with himself, he sees himself more and more in his ignorance, and in time he begins to realize what is lacking in him. But at that point, if he takes what is lacking in him seriously, he starts the same game again, but at a later stage of his personal search. In man's new formula, he must learn not to rack his brain with himself, but to live his life and observe that everything he does is part of the experience that must be lived to change his vibrations. If he becomes aware, if he is aware of the other side of the wall, having an effect on his everyday life, at that point he won't try to rack his brain, he'll live his stupidities, his mistakes, and these mistakes will gradually diminish. I'll take an example of the lady in the corner at the back, Mrs. X. Mrs. X is a highly emotional type of woman. A woman who has long sought to improve her condition, to improve her inner condition, to understand her inner situation. She looked for different ways to get there, but because her emotion was so powerful, every time she moved forward, she felt like she was moving backwards. Because every time she moved forward, she felt like she hadn't moved forward at all. And yet every time we move forward, we move forward. We never go backwards in life. That's an illusion of the ego. We always move forward in life. But what happens is that we don't move forward as fast as we'd like to. We don't move forward as fast as the other person we think is moving forward. And then they don't move forward any faster than the rest of us, anyway. So the others always move forward faster than the rest of us, and the rest of us always move forward slower than the others. That's an illusion of the ego. So the lady moves forward, only at her own pace, the pace that's possibly best for her, the pace that's best for her emotional balance, for her mental balance. It's not a question of moving so fast that you break your spirit. It's a question of simply moving forward. So if, for you, moving forward has a certain rhythm, that doesn't mean that, for you, moving forward is slower than for someone else, because what denotes, or what measures the rhythm of progress, is not the speed with which you go from one state to another, but the capacity you have to be happy, to feel good about yourself. The more often you feel good about yourself, the more you advance. The more often you feel good about yourself, the more you advance. And here's the rule of thumb. The more you feel good about yourself, the further you'll go. In other words, the more you feel good about yourself, the further you have gone. And it's essential for man to understand that he must no longer seek to know himself. It's a great revolution in man's thinking. It's an about turn, leading him eventually and effectively to see himself in a totally different way from the way he saw himself before. Before, he saw himself with a personal effort to transform himself that never led to anything, and now he has to see himself without a personal effort to transform himself that leads to something. This is the key to the new instruction. A man who understands that he doesn't have to rack his brain is already a wise man. He is wise because he has already set aside the great adventure of the ego for the search for himself, which is an intellectual adventure of the ego, advocated by the ancients and inscribed on the list of the philosophy of man by Socrates, the Greeks. I've got nothing against the Greeks, but they were at the origin of the intellectual and philosophical development of Western man. It served his cause, but today the cause is lost. Man must become an Atlantean again, but an Atlantean with a developed mental body. And once we've firmly understood this, not to beat ourselves up, we start to breathe. It's so simple, it's stupid, but the point was to know. You look at the great inventions of mankind, and you always say, it was a matter of knowing. It's always the same thing. And in every area of human experience, it's always about knowing. But where does it come from? It always comes from above, and you don't know it until it's time. Now it's time, and it's going by fast. One of the ego's greatest rewards on the material plane is the realization that everything that confused him before can no longer confuse him. Some can understand from within, because when the ego is sufficiently aware in his experience and sufficiently sensitive in his experiences to understand the simplicity of spirit, he is capable, from that moment on, of totally changing his conception of life and knowing in a totally different way. Where he saw the defect, he sees the quality, and where he saw the quality, he sees nothing. I'll come back to this. Where he saw the defect, he sees quality, and where he saw quality, he sees nothing, because there's a progression from defect to quality, to neutrality. And some of you understand this too. And when the ego has succeeded in killing the illusion of defect, he is ready to understand the illusion of quality. And he is already on his way to self-neutrality. And at that point he is no longer bothering with himself. There, he begins to realize that he is smart. But he doesn't realize that he is smart through his spiritual pride. But he realizes that he is smart through his supramental consciousness. And then, he starts to be sure that he's smart. Then an ego that starts to be sure that he's smart, he starts to be very smart. There are some who understand what I mean. It's essential for the ego to experience this realization in order, once and for all, to end the search for himself. Because searching for oneself is suffering. And it's so simple to know that you don't have to search for yourself, that you simply have to live what you are. And to see that what you are is in the process of transmutation, of transformation. Once you see it, you have proof that what you were, in your inner quest, was essential to what you are today in your further development. Just as some of you in the past saw yourselves as crooked, today you feel more and more upright. So what happens then? The ego, which is given such an instruction at the beginning of the experience, is prey to the study of the truth of this instruction. Could it be that I'm that smart? Is it possible to be that smart? Is it possible to feel like you're in a hole? Is it possible to feel you're right and then you're right? The other question, all of a sudden it's wrong, all of a sudden it's temporary, all of a sudden it's an illusion, all of a sudden it's a suggestion. So the ego is prey to both questions. Eventually there is no question. It is what it is. And the only rule of measurement for what it is to feel good about yourself. But it was a question of knowing this. And the ego can't know this on its own. Because the ego is looking for a measure, a tool, to improve either himself a lot or the quality of its personality. And the ego can't find it on its own because the ego is subject to the law of lies, against all odds, in relation to himself by the fact that he thinks, or in relation to another level that only seeks to put a spoke in its wheels, to make it evolving. So the ego is forced to access another ego, which has the prerogative of power, the science of knowing what he knows. And this other ego, which has this prerogative, can, by vibration, generate enough energy in the receptive ego for the latter to be incapable of refusing, by reason, this new formulation of supramental consciousness. This is why, often when I speak to you, your thoughts cease to be active, and you receive what I say in a mental void. And when the ego wonders why he is empty in the mind, why he can't ask questions, why nothing comes to mind, when before, 2 hours before, it had many questions coming to mind, the answer is there. The vibration neutralizes the mental body in the receiver, and then the work begins, and the ego can finally begin to totally derange what he had previously, for years, been trying to regulate, meaning his own personal situation, but it deranges it by doing nothing and simply receiving the energy. If we seek to improve ourselves, it's through the ego. If we seek to spiritualize ourselves, it's through the ego. If we seek to understand ourselves, it's through the ego. If you learn to look for nothing, to live your life in the conditions that suit you, then the ego himself becomes the reflector of what he will be tomorrow. And what it reflects today is captured by consciousness and retransmitted tomorrow, in a month, in 2 months, in another vibration that the ego will receive and which will make him another ego or a more subtle ego, a more conscious ego, a more balanced ego, a wiser ego, a more steady ego. If I say to you, take yourself as you are, and I'm talking to Mr. X, take yourself as you are. Your unconsciousness prevents you from knowing your true greatness. If there are others in the world who can see your true greatness, then you don't have to worry about yourself, you only have to go in the direction of yourself.